Welcome. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is live financial talk radio. Join us in the conversation today. We're only going to talk about money, your future, your wealth, winning. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, the New Orleans Metroplex loses one of its bigger corporate brands. You'll never guess who, and you'll never guess where they went. The United States may be the world's top oil exporter, not producer, exporter even, as soon as next year. We have a lot of good news from the earnings reports. Amazon's killing it. Microsoft's killing it. I got a great question here already from the Winning at Life app from Scott in Mobile. So we'll answer his question. If you want to get yours in, though, you can leave a text via the Winning at Life app. Go download it in your app store. Or call 504-260-0995. I want to worry Gregory a little bit here, though. You feeling nervous yet, Gregory? Because I'm about to make you a little
bit. Why would I be nervous?
Well, because there's a worldwide wine output. It's a shortage. They're at a 60. Well,
in Europe, there is.
Yes, and it's at a 60-year low. Wine output globally hadn't been this low since 1957.
I know. I actually have regret that I didn't stock up on my Italian wines last year.
Yeah, well, if they're in this little gap.
And some French, too. And this is a problem. French and Italian wines are short.
Okay, so that number's huge, though, because if you go all the way back to 1957, we were producing less wine then, but there was only, like, what, 2 billion people on the planet back then? So there was more to go around, even. So now, even though the population of the world's, like, doubled, maybe even tripled since then, we're now producing less wine than 1957. Stuff's already expensive enough.
Yeah, that's something to think about.
Does this make wine an investment?
It's like what I kind of discovered last year when I went to my annual pilgrimage to wine country on the West Coast, is when I looked at some of these wine clubs, and then I realized it's wine clubs per vineyard. And I asked, well, when you fill up and if people are still wanting to join, you know, you can't just keep taking on people because you're only producing so much wine from that vineyard. And then if you run short that year, you're not fulfilling all the members. So you can't keep taking on members. And they said, yeah, that vineyard will cap out if we have another vineyard, acquire one and such, and have wine, then we can add people to that club list for that. And it might go to where it's a club for the overall vineyards or per vineyard. And that's where I realized is there's only a limited amount. It isn't like, let's just shove some more grapevines in the ground. You know, it doesn't work that way. And everything you intend to capture, you don't capture. And if they want more, we've got to find someplace else to grow it. But I think they're probably growing it in about all the viable places there are. Now, does some of that expand? Yes, but probably not as much as the people that are wanting it. So really what we're seeing is the cheap wine. It's not the high-end ones that are going up. It is those $10 bottles, those $15, those $20 bottles, probably those $30 that are going up. Adjust your palate. You're going to be paying more for that wine. And it's probably filtering to the upper ends, but it's not like, where can we find some more ground to grow on? And it doesn't just happen. Like, you're not putting some vines in the ground and, yeah, there'll be some grapes next year. No, This is taking a while.
Right, and they can't grow them in farmland in Nebraska. They can't go chop down the rainforest and plant some there. It has to be in a specific temperate climate. And they may have already put the maximum amount of vines in the ground on Earth.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's kind of what I was alluding to. I was leaving room that, you know what, there could be some more, but we're not doubling wine capacity because the population of wine drinkers has doubled. So what does that mean? And that's one of the things that was really cool about seeing that is having a business where everything you produce is sold before you even pull the grapes off the vine. It's all sold. What better business? This is that.
Because people are
and buying. Now it's going to be sold for it's all sold, except now it's going to be sold for a higher price. And if you need to opt out, I have somebody else that wants your spot.
When you talk about these memberships, it sounds like you're buying wine futures. You're buying a futures contract on wine, and this is the fee you have to research a contract.
No, we're a member, and I get like David Arthur. It's some of the best wines you'll ever drink. And they're not inexpensive. Definitely never would be called cheap. But here, I'm a member of that, so I get an allotment. I'm already assigned an allotment, whether I choose to take it or not. I don't always take my allotment. It's expensive. But I don't know what the price is going to be until the release. And it has gone up over the years. So, yeah, I'm buying futures, and I don't even know what the futures are going to be priced at. But we know one thing, it's going to be more.
So people are kind of freaking out because in 2017, there was the worst frost the wine industry ever had to deal with, mainly in France, in 25 years. And it was in Bordeaux, Burgundy, Champagne. Sound familiar, right? And then we just had a late frost here. This is one of the coldest Aprils we've had in our lifetimes. And if they have the same
thinking here, and then we had the fires last year.
Oh, that's right,
that
too.
That did not help.
That's on this side.
We have less vineyards producing this year than last year.
All right. So, man, it's weird that the terms that they use, hectoliters, million hectoliters, is how they measure a mass production of wine. I don't even know what that is, so these numbers mean nothing to me. But there's no expectation that this could immediately turn around pretty soon. What about that? What is this time to maybe do some wine investing? Is there a circumstance under which this is? Because people like to invest in baseball cards or alternative investments, and is this one of these like a collector's item thing?
I just don't know that this is where you would invest and completely be an absentee investor. I don't think that goes well in most cases. Some, you know, maybe you're the guy that's built the company and you've kind of replaced yourself to where you're kind of just oversighting everything and you have the key people reporting. You've replaced yourself essentially, but you're not going to go in there and buy vineyards and start up production, hire people. Well, y'all do this right. I'll see you next year. The people that I know in the business are in the business. They're not. Now, could there be some investors? But there are some people that's invested too that are working there every day. I personally couldn't do it as an absentee owner.
What about
a silent partner?
What about a super small scale? What if I just buy some of these 2016, 2017s, and I know that they're going to be worth more in the future?
Buy wine and sell it later.
Yeah. Is there a resale market going on?
I know people that do that too.
Is there a lot of people that do that? Is that a big industry?
Now, I can't say a lot. I don't do that. I buy it. I'm drinking it someday in the future. Past few weeks, I've got I'll just call it a Chateau 2009 red wine. And I think we've went through about six bottles of that.
Today?
No, over the past few weeks.
Just having fun with you.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, okay, I'm like, wow, this is, because we've had it like store, and then it's time, you know, that's what, 9-year-old wine, 10-year-old wine now?
Well, I don't know.
Especially from since it came out the ground, yes, definitely 10.
What do you
but
think
it's
is
a 2009.
Right, what's your thoughts on the time frame of wine? When is it best?
I like to drink 10-year-old wine.
What about 20-year-old? Is that funky at that point?
I don't want to go that far back, because then I'm probably likely having more cork trouble. And, you know, some of the wines, and some of them are better to enjoy or experience that shouldn't be 10 years old. And I do enjoy it certain periods, but when I'm kind of going through the wine room, if it's 10 years old, we're going to start drinking it. I'm not going to go further than that. I lost a couple bottles last year because the corks disintegrated. I'm like, oh, do you know how much that wine was worth?
What's your turning schedule? How often you go turn the bottles? Who does that? Who's in charge of that?
Just month or so.
Okay. I've just never asked that question. Any chance that this could infringe on the future of the wine, wisdom, and food pairings?
No.
The Gregory Ricks Live event?
No.
No concern? We're not going to switch over maybe to a bourbon event next year?
No.
There's going to be forest fires in Kentucky. We'll be like, all right, sorry about that.
No, we're good.
So you're already aware of this. You didn't even blink when I told you there's a worldwide wine output collapse.
Yeah, I knew. Just like was brought up to me this morning by one of my team. I said, are you aware that Ford's going to quit selling cars? I said, yeah, except for the Mustang, basically. Why? They make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're drinking, well, what about the cafe? Well, if it's a gas guzzler, they're just going to charge you the gas guzzler fee, and that opts it out. And they've got a bunch of four-cylinder Mustangs at a sale. It'll look, you know, it looks just as cool as the ones with the big engines, but it's got the smaller engine and costs less. They'll sell a bunch of them. But I said, yeah, they're a truck company now for a while.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, or a wine question, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Ladies, find out how to retire well with Gregory Ricks Live, a special experience pairing wine, wisdom, and food. Retirement planning isn't just about dollars and cents. It's about having options. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Reserve your seat for Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, May 8th, 6:30 p.m., Bruce Christ in Metairie. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
This is Dennis Asaf of the Jefferson Performing Arts Society. Check out our production of Late Night Catechism. Late Night Catechism is a sinfully funny play that takes you to your Catholic grammar school days. Local acting legend Sister Amanda Hebert teaches class to a room full of students. You. Naughty students may well find themselves on stage sitting in a corner. Late Night Catechism plays May 4th through 6th at Teatro Wego in West Wego. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us, jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
You've heard me tell the story of the difference between working with a butcher and a dietitian. You know, the butcher, when you go in there, you're pretty much going to get beef.
He's not going to sell you any fruits or vegetables. However, if you go and talk to a nutritionist, they're going to look at everything you're doing. Maybe you're eating too much of the beef and give you some good guidance. Look, your portfolio's not any different. You're going to this brokerage and all this guy can handle is stocks. Well, what do you think you're going to get there? Maybe you should work with somebody that operates in all the worlds to where you're actually getting good advice. You're working with a fiduciary. Make sure you're using the right person.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Hey, good evening. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Our next Gregory Ricks Live event is less than 2 weeks away. Tuesday, May 8th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. This is a women-only event. This is also not just finance. We're going to have a wine pairing. Wine pairing with the selected Ruth's Chris menu, and we're throwing in some financial wisdom in the mix. So, sounds pretty good, doesn't it? All right, so if you're a lady and you're thinking you may need some help with your financial situation, you're curious, maybe Gregory Ricks could be right for you. This is a financial first date, that's all. Not trying to sell you anything. There's going to be no push. No one's going to close you. But you're going to meet us. We're going to meet you. We're going to have a little chat back and forth. And if we like you and you like us, maybe we'll schedule a visit after that. But that's all. It's a pretty low-key, no-stress event. To reserve your seat, and it is filling up, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com. If you're a little more tech forward, we do have an RSVP option you can get to through the app. So go get the Winning at Life app if that's your preference.
Guess who the number one pick in the NFL draft is this year?
Oh, they're doing that, aren't they? I wasn't even watching. Who is it?
Baker Mayfield. Heisman Trophy winner, Oklahoma.
Okay.
To the Browns.
Oh, come on, Browns. What are you doing? How much money?
They were, Josh Rosen, what has been talked about for months, and then all of a sudden it kind of leaked out yesterday. Hey, we think the Browns are going to go with the Heisman Trophy winner. I think they could have traded down and gotten him, actually.
Man, isn't that the truth? I didn't think about that first, but you're right.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to go first. What are y'all waiting on?
But they pick again in three more picks. They have the first, which already, and the fourth. We'll see. The number two team on the draft, I don't know who it is, but they're probably excited.
Yeah.
The guy that they thought was going to be taken is now on their pick. So what do you do? So it's...
Another look, this is a bad financial decision by the Browns. And I wish someone would go do the spreadsheet because I'm not going to do it. But someone go see how much money the Browns have spent on quarterbacks in the last 5 years, and they don't have a starter.
Well, they have two chances to really mess it up. They have the first and the fourth.
I wouldn't put it past them. In fact, they're probably going to get another quarterback.
I don't know.
To make sure one gets blown.
Eventually, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn. And, you know, the Browns have had a lot of these picks. Maybe this is the time they get it right.
But they're not even staying with picks to waste money. They took that big, dumb contract from Brock Osweiler and the Texans, and he didn't work out for them. Remember, they had to pick up, I think it was $16 million in guaranteed money for 1 year for a guy that's, I think he started, what, four games? It's funny. I know we see everything through the financial prism on this show because this is a financial show. Mm. But so many of these problems, they have their roots in bad financial decisions.
Yeah, but, you know, this isn't like ugly money. It's all cap now on the rookies. It isn't like the Jamarcus Russell getting some $60 million and then they cut him at the end of 3 years where that was like blown money. There is a limit to how much they can mess it up, because what it does is that protects the good players that have proven themselves getting money. So how we at Winning at Life judge football teams win, loss, and their problems is dead cap space. You're not going to completely ruin you. Yeah, you've wasted that pick, but you did not cripple the team because you way overpaid the guy. There's a limit to how much exposure you have on draft picks. Now, the real problem is free agency is where they ruin themselves on bonuses and then cutting the guy and creating giant dead cap space. It matches, and we've done this the past couple seasons, it matches win-loss records. More dead cap money, the worse your record's going to be.
Absolutely. Let me run over here to this Facebook. This came from the app. This was Scott over in Mobile, Alabama. He downloaded the Winning at Life app and used the texting feature to ask Gregory this. It was a response to something we had talked about a couple days ago. Remember I was getting the IRS scam call? I got another one of those again yesterday, and I recorded it, but it was the same thing. For some reason, I talk to these guys for 5 seconds, and they hang up on me. For some reason, they know I'm messing with them. But if you want to review that real quick, that's always fun here.
I immediately so do return the call as soon as you receive the message.
So this was the tail end of the message I got.
1-208.
And then we'll just skip the rest of the number. So that was an Idaho one. The one I got today was a California area code. I called
Thank
it back.
Thank you for calling Internal Revenue Service. How can I help you?
I got a call.
This is me on the phone.
From you guys saying call back.
Is this Horny Gold Liquor?
Say it again.
I defraud IRS. I defraud IRS. How do I pay back?
Shouldn't I be saying that to him? Right. Anyway, so that goes on for a little bit. It happened again yesterday. I didn't record it because I didn't get anywhere when I called him back. But Scott from Mobile says, scam calls. I use an app called Hiya, H-I-Y-A, to identify bogus calls. Users have input to identify scams, bill collectors, etc. And then it is provided when a specific number calls your phone, comma, pretty cool. Free app for Android. Not sure about those fruity phones. LOL, Scott. I think he's calling my phone fruity. And, you know, I'm comfortable in with my phone. You can call it fruity if you want, especially if you're going to help me hire. So is this some sort of crowdsourcing thing where if you get a bogus number, you put it into the app and it'll let everyone else in the Hiya Nation know that this is a bogus number? Is that how it works? I might have to look that one up.
I pretty much think they're all bogus unless there's a name attached. And if they don't leave a voicemail, I'm probably blocking it. I block calls every day. There was one that just had the plus sign call me, and I did answer it. It was kind of actually funny. But they did look, I show you.
That's a little suspicious, isn't it? They're not even trying anymore,
yeah,
Gregory.
Yeah, but I had fun with him. So, you know, sometimes you get a kick out of it. Let's see. Here it is. Recent. See? Middle of the phone.
You're
the
right.
Plus sign. And I blocked it. I blocked it. When they kind of go, no ID or something. There's something that, no caller ID. You can't block those. There was a plus sign to block. But yeah, I talked to the guy. He sounded like he was from India and said he was somewhere else. And you know, I buy, and this is what I've got to do. I've got to go to GoDaddy and see what the heck's going on, because I bought some domains. And the next thing you know, I'm getting calls from everybody. Let me set up you a website.
Well, that must be where that came
from. Dude, if I didn't know how to get that handled, I wouldn't be buying a domain. I'm just clearing the air on that. I don't need somebody calling me and offering me help on my websites. So he's asking me a question. Then I ask him two questions. And after about five of my questions, ding, they hung up. So I blocked the plus sign.
It's bad enough they're a scammer. Do they have to be so rude? Don on the North Shore, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What's up, Don?
Hey, good evening. Look, I got some great suggestions. I get them all the time, and I always do pretty close to the same thing to them, and I just have so much fun with it. So what you do is you drag them on for about 5 minutes. You just ask them all kind of questions, and you let them think you're going to pay the money, and you tell them, okay, well, let me get you my credit card. And then you give them a bogus credit card number, and then you, and when they go, oh, it doesn't go through, I say, hold on, let me make sure. Can you read that back to me? And when they're reading back to you, you know those football horns, the air horns you play at the football games?
Yeah.
You put that right into the speaker, and you and you mash it as long as you can. And you go, how was that credit card number for you?
Well, I don't have an air horn, but I like where your head's at.
You can get them at Dollar General. You can get them at Dollar General and Family Dollar on eBay for like $3.
I like the idea of stringing them out.
Oh, yeah. I string them out too. Or like when the
well, they're going to hang up when the horn goes off. So,
telemarketers, you don't do that. What you do is you start asking them tons of questions, and you put it on mute, and so you can watch your TV, and you keep going, oh, yeah, and then you go, well, let me check with my wife and see if that's okay. After about 30 minutes, and you go, no, she said no, I'm sorry.
Now, I like that too. Don, well done. I like all this. These are great suggestions. Solving problems here today, Gregory.
You know, you get some of those sometimes that the whatever pitch they're going, and so I'll just put it on mute and set the phone down. They can talk all they want.
Oh, yeah.
Then a little later, I go check on the phone. Yeah, they hung up. Block it and move on. So annoying, but what about the do not call list? Or does that stuff work anymore, or? Did some previous president abolish it or something?
See, the do not call list was, I think that was pertaining to landlines, wasn't it? But oh, who the heck has a landline anymore?
Yeah, that's the point. Who has? Yeah, I have a landline. There's no phone plugged into it. I don't ever answer it because there's nothing plugged in.
Last time I had a landline, that was the only people that called me except for my wife's grandmother. She was the only person that ever called our landline. All right, financial situations or how to mess with scammers. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.
If you've been listening to Winning It Life for a while now, you probably already know that estate planning is more than just a will. You may need a trust. You definitely need both of your powers of attorney. So what's your plan? Hi, I'm Wes Blanchard, an estate planning attorney of offices in Metairie. Listen, don't leave your loved ones in a bind. Call me, and we'll make you a plan or update your existing plan. Find me at wjblanchardlaw.com.
If you like money, you will love the Winning at Life app. If you want to call the show or text Winning at Life right now, get the app. If you need to contact Gregory's office or any of the Total Wealth Authority, it's on the app. If you would like to stream the show live or on podcast, that's on the app too. It's free. Just a one-time login is all it takes to join the Winning at Life Nation. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
So what we try to do is help you find out where are you on that path and where is it taking you and what adjustments do you need to make. And we're always continuing to look down that financial road. The way I look at driving, I'm always looking ahead of where I have to go. I have part of my eye on that bumper in front of me out there a little bit, but I'm kind of looking a good ways down the road. So you're kind of keeping on your money now and looking well down the road and where it's going. And driving, that keeps you out of a lot of trouble. With your money, it does the same thing. It keeps you out of financial trouble and actually works towards keeping you in good shape.
Call Gregory Ricks and Associates. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryrick.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker.
Hi.
504-260-0995. We've got business to cover. We've got some sound bites from, what's that guy's name? Dennis Gartman. I think it's pretty interesting. And then I'll give you my take and... I don't know. We might talk about income planning, section 7702. But I just want to go back to what we were talking about on the break here for a moment. The football thing again, where you're like, oh, Mayfield was the first pick. And you're like, gosh, you know.
Yeah, they just said it on
a bad pick.
The news update. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they probably listened to our show. So they said, oh, we got to report this. Gregory and James did.
That makes sense.
So total sense. So once again, you know, this guy is a pure winner, more so than the guys that they're putting before him. You know, he wins football games since high school. He wins championships, and he won the Heisman. No, he's not 6'5". He's more like a Drew Brees. And guess who messed up on Drew Brees? Saban at the Miami Dolphins. Missed out on that pick, huh?
Yeah, lucky and then, us, huh?
And then what did he bypass? Future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner, most passing yards. He's got records out the wazoo, and that's why Saban said, I'm better suited for college, like Alabama.
You know, when you bring that up, how was he so bad on that quarterback decision, but he knew to put in the Tuialopa guy or whatever his name is in the championship game?
No, he knew he had to do something different because the other guy was not going to keep up with his scrambling.
Hurt,
he
right.
needed somebody to drop back and throw that ball to the open guy, and Hurt is not that guy. He learned that in the championship game the year before.
True.
He needed a guy to make the throws. What was brilliant is he learned and then had the guts to do it because this could still go bad. Les Miles didn't have the guts to do that a few years ago in a championship game when Jefferson couldn't do anything, but they stayed the whole game with him. Saban said, that is not happening to me again, and that's the difference.
Okay, so back to Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield wins games. He's not that prototype Josh Rosen, what, 6'4", arm throws to the spot. Well, so does Mayfield, but he's, what, 5'11", 5'10"? Well, Drew Brees heightens on every throw. Have you seen him up close?
He tippy-toes.
He's on his toes with his neck extended, and he's one of the most accurate to ever play the game.
You ever throw like that? It takes a lot more arm and shoulder strength to throw when you're not pushing off your heels. When you're on your toes like that, it's just all arm and shoulder.
Yeah. So I don't know. Hey, they actually might have stepped up and actually made the right decision. We'll see in the next few years.
Before you do that, what'd you find out about the do not call list?
Oh, yeah. There is one for cell phones. The do not call registry accepts registrations from both cell phones and landlines. not so many landlines anymore, to register by telephone, call 1-888-382-1222. You must call from the phone number that you want to register. If you'd rather go online, go to donotcall.gov. You will have to respond with a confirmation email. I will be adding my cell number to the Do Not Call registry after the show.
Do you get any telemarketer calls or just scammer calls? Because scammers aren't going to follow this list anyway. They're already operating.
I get telemarketers, too. I get all kinds.
That stinks. And
look, the telemarketers are the website thing. I bought some more domains. I probably, own 1,000 of them. I'm just kidding. Maybe 50 or 60. But
1,000.
But all of a sudden, then I get these calls like, where are they getting my number from? Well, they're probably going online and just scanning there. And now you have an option on GoDaddy to where when you buy a domain, you can keep all the information private. Well, I want a lot of domains. I don't want to do that, but I can put my name on a do not call list and let's see how that works.
You want to do the phone number again?
Do not call registry. To do it by telephone, call 1-888-382-1222. And if you want to do it online, donotcall.gov. There you go. So hopefully that's some help to reduce the misery.
All right. Now, I saw Stacy, Mrs. Ricks. This caught her attention as well. Wells Fargo's in trouble again.
Oh, my God.
What are you guys doing? So they were, it turns out the Labor Department is looking into whether or not Wells Fargo was participating or pressuring people participating in 401k accounts to roll their savings into IRA plans when they retire or leave their jobs because they're doing it. Why? They want the fees. They want them to get in-house funds so they can increase their own revenue and they can make the commissions out of that. But I'm not sure if this is so cut and dry, Gregory, because I don't want to say there's a gray area, but they're not as strict as the regulations on fiduciaries on what they're allowed to offer up to their clientele. Managers of these accounts right now under federal law are governed by fiduciary responsibilities, which means they're supposed to put their own clients' interests ahead of their own, but Wells Fargo, were y'all doing that? You guys going to get in trouble there? So the SEC, Justice Department are also looking into the company's retirement advice strategies as part of this much larger investigation.
It's one thing after the other. Who's running that asylum?
How is nobody going to jail? If they really are guilty of all this stuff, opening the ghost accounts, putting people in insurance they didn't ask for, and now giving them advice that benefits them instead of the client.
Yeah, it's suitable. It's not. They're not acting as fiduciaries. Are they a broker firm? Is it a brokerage firm? Then that's in their wheelhouse. They may not be acting and representing themselves as fiduciaries.
Right. So what they did, it may be legal.
It's no, but here is the back page. Edward Jones has been doing that for forever, getting kicked back from the funds that they're putting clients in.
Well, that's on their website.
Yeah, it's a business model. Yeah, Wells Fargo's doing it. Wells Fargo's not the first and not the only one doing it. There. So they might not have done anything wrong. Could they have put them in cheaper accounts? Looked out for the client more? Could have, but they may not be required to do so.
Was it just 2 weeks ago, though, they agreed to a $1 billion fine?
I don't think they agreed. They were fined $1 billion by the Financial Consumer Agency.
All right.
You think they agreed? Oh, this is a deal? They negotiated? I think they were fined it.
I think that the CFPB says you're going to pay this. You can fight it or you can pay it. And then it said, we'll pay it.
And let's see, you're going to fight it. And will this agency ever run out of money?
No.
Will they ever stop?
No.
Will the attorneys like, I'm so tired of this? No, it's, you fight it, but you're going to pay.
Well, they mean business with the $1 billion, because that other thing I mentioned, it's in this article, where they were creating fake accounts for customers without their approval, the ghost accounts. They only had to pay $185 million.
Okay. Well, here's the bigger question. Why are you at Wells Fargo with your accounts?
You're right. I should just be there to deposit my money and take some of it out, maybe have a checking account.
If it's a bank, just do banking there and move on. Don't do anything else with those guys.
But don't treat them like your financial advisor. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, don't do I'm not going to give you advice, but I tell you what, that's enough for me. I'm like, why am I here? This is a train wreck. Just why do they have customers to keep falling for this?
They're not going to have.
I don't understand that. I don't. I wouldn't be there.
They're going to have a lot fewer customers.
They're famous
after all
for
this.
Taking advantage of people. So, and you're there. James, hey, you know, I was looking at your Wells Fargo account, your savings account. You've got like hundreds of thousands of dollars there in that 401k. We can roll that over. We can help you with that cash, put it to work, and it's gone. You know, that cartoon we
South Park,
we
use. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're like, that's what they're doing, and you've seen them doing it. I said, that's okay, Fred. I'm working on moving my assets away, because you guys keep making the news, taking advantage of people.
All right, coming up next, we got to do the numbers. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. Or you can send us a text message via the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
So folks listening, you come to me and you go, hey, I already got 5%. Well, mom and dad gave me 5%, but I still want to take advantage of, I want to go with CAFA, put the 5% down, and let's use the grant program to buy out your private mortgage insurance.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at nolamotor.com.
Ladies, find out how to retire well with Gregory Ricks Live, a special experience pairing wine, wisdom, and food. Retirement planning isn't just about dollars and cents. It's about having options. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Reserve your seat for Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, May 8th, 6:30 p.m., Bruce Chris in Metairie. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Asaf of the Jefferson Performing Arts Society announcing the final production of our 40th season. Alice in Wonderland, the ballet, plays May 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And for you teachers, don't forget the Arts Adventure Series production of Alice in Wonderland playing Thursday morning, May the 17th at 9:45 a.m. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
There's a lot of marketing going on out there, and their big catchphrase is set up your own self-directed IRA. You can do so many other things. And these firms, if you go and Google them, there is a lot of complaints. It is fraught with risk. And doing the filing that's required to keep your IRA in a tax-deferred status is complicated. You don't have a taxable event, so you got to really be careful about the paperwork and blowing this up. And it even gets more complicated when you're trying to run an enterprise inside of your IRA, like a rental business or a vending machine business or whatever ideas they're throwing at you to put your money at risk.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. Hey, you have a few more minutes, 504-260-0995. This is Winning at Life. Hey, I have a live event coming up, Women Winning at Life. Do not miss this opportunity with what's going on in the market now, the taxes, Social Security. And this is about helping women understand the gaps of income they're facing. And we're going to talk about those things on May the 8th at 6:30 at Ruth's Chris. You have to RSVP. We're also doing a wine tasting and food pairing. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's something you're going to remember. You're going to have some wine, food, and gain some financial wisdom. Guys, send your wife and tell her to bring a female friend. It's a women's only event. Ladies, don't wait for your husband to send you. Call up and go and bring a friend and learn something about money and learn something about wine and food pairings. We're going to have some fun. 504. Here's the office number to RSVP. 504-832-9200. Go to gregoryricks.com or email info. That's info@gregoryricks.com. Or just go to gregoryricks.com. Come on, participate. It's going to fill up, and you're going to wish you had went.
Dennis Gartman, CEO and founder of the Gartman Letter. And I like these guys because he has made his living by telling financial professionals what's going on in the world. So he may have pretty good depth of knowledge of how these things work, seeing as how that's how he makes his money. But he is a bit of a contrarian. He's one of these negative guys. I don't want to go so far as to call him a perma-bear, but he seems to enjoy swimming against the current and ticking people off. That being said, that doesn't make him wrong, and when he explains why he thinks this market will end up in a significant bear territory, I have a hard time arguing against him, Gregory.
I think it bothers me greatly that we have seen the highs, I'm quite convinced, in both the market here in the United States and globally. So I'm actually, in the long term, quite bearish of equities. I think that we've got the monetary authorities here in the United States already erring upon the side of tighter monetary policy. We've seen the adjusted monetary base down about 10% from its highs. That's not going to change anytime soon. We're allowing the monetary base to roll off. We're probably going to see the ECB begin to tighten. The only bank of consequence that won't be tightening monetary policy anytime soon is the Bank of Japan. And as long as the monetary authorities on balance are beginning that process, they're taking away the liquidity that has sponsored the bull market. So technically, I'm actually quite bearish. In the short run, we got so terribly oversold 2 weeks ago that we're having a good bounce. We shouldn't be surprised by this. But if we took the Dow up another 150 to 200, I guarantee you I shall be selling.
I like the focus on central bank buying and the assets rolling off the Fed balance sheet.
Yeah, and I'll take that a step further. What concerns me is central banks that have been buying equities at a ridiculous pace the past few years. Are they unwinding as well?
Do we know if they're unwinding or if they're just stopping future purchases?
Well, that's far as these as reporting comes in to try to figure out that. You've always, for the past few years, and they have to report this quarterly, you see the assets growing in there from purchases. But now, could it be flat to negative? If it's negative, how negative is it opposed to the market being negative? You can get a general idea, and if they're off a great deal more, that means they're selling. So it's a concern, because it's a concern that they help drive these prices up. Are they going to be part of what unwinds all this?
It takes a historic look.
I think 18 times earnings is relatively high. We could get to 20 times earnings. I don't doubt that for a moment. But what bothers me and what people are not paying attention to is historically, stock markets do indeed make their highs long before economic activity turns down. What ends up happening at the bottoms is as the monetary authorities begin to become expansionary, that money moves into equities before it moves into plant equipment and labor. And at the peak, as plant and equipment and labor demands capital, that and while the monetary authorities are beginning to tighten, there's less liquidity to sponsor plant equipment and labor. And so the money comes out of the stock market. It's very normal. It's very historically precedented. And I think that that's indeed what's going to be happening here over the course of the next year or two.
He's not the only one to state those concerns over the next year or two. You know, the debt is a big problem there. The interest rates moving up. You're seeing the market's having trouble absorbing that right now, and we really haven't faced the debt discussion. We have a lot of warnings out there, but it's really not been addressed.
It kind of makes me want to go back and check some charts when he says the stock market always peaks. Stocks always peak before the economy slows. Then you try and just go back in your own head. It's like, well, do they always peak before the economy slows? Were we having the recession before the stock market took a dive in 2008? Or when you go
that
back...
That came after. But it was after a peak.
But they went and they revised that last one down for 2008. So when the stock market dove in September, but you had negative growth starting in October... That's pretty close, right? That's almost in tandem. But I guess his point still stands. He talks about we're running out of time, so let's just do this last one. All right, Dennis Gartman, bearish guy of the day. Where do you go? If you're getting out the stock market, what do you do?
I think you go to cash. I think you go to short-term treasury securities. I think you go to the ETFs that are short-term bond funds. And I think you sit on the sidelines and wait. I think sometimes the sidelines is not a bad place to be. Not too many people want to always be 100% invested. As I've said in my newsletter, in a bear market, there are three positions you can have: very bearish, modestly bearish, or neutral. Right now, perhaps neutrality is the best position of all to take.
You know, I really enjoyed hearing him say that, you know, cash, money market is a safe place when you're wanting to set idle. You can go do bonds, even short duration. ETFs make it more palatable, and it definitely has to be short duration. But interest rates are moving up. You're still going to have some injury there. But cash is cash, money market, sitting there idle is not a bad place when things are ugly because you're not going down. I have those strange looks a lot of time. Well, what do you do when the market's going bad? Well, we'll just sell everything and go to cash inside of the account. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. It doesn't go down in value.
I'm not just going to sit there and take my punches. All right, explain to me in layman's term, what does this mean? An ETF, short-term bond fund. I think I can kind of piece it together from context.
Well, please. It's kind of similar to what we do with balanced income portfolio. It's short duration treasury, short duration bonds, and we have preferreds in there, and we could opt those out in a declining market, stick with that. Meaning if you're buying, say, 30-year bonds is a long duration.
Sure.
A 5-year bond is a short duration. Think of a seesaw in the middle, and you and a kid's on either end. The longer the seesaw is, the more up and down there has to be, versus a shorter one is a shorter duration versus a long seesaw is a longer duration. Think of it that you're going to have exponentially more pain or gain on longer duration versus short.
So he was going short on that one. All right, let's do the numbers there.
The numbers.
I don't know if we're going to have time to do all this, Gregory. It's the numbers. Follow along at winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. The markets today were, it's kind of becoming trite to say it's
well,
a roller coaster.
Facebook. It's a Facebook day. Facebook crushed it last night. If Facebook had missed, we'd have had a down day. There you go.
Exactly. Now we're seeing all green, but it's a very tenuous green. The Dow Jones was up 1%, S&P up 1%. NASDAQ, though, up 1.64%. And yeah, if you go ahead and skip down the short sheet, 9% on Facebook from yesterday's close till today's close explains most of that.
10-year treasuries are below 3% today, 2.987.
No.
Crude oil at We're still, what, well over 4.5% on 30-year fixed interest mortgages. Crude oil, $68.10. Gold, $13.18. That's $1,318. $16.58 for silver.
Amazon had a great little day today. Turns out Jeff Bezos is now the world's richest person by a little bit bigger margin. Today, his fortune grew by $12 billion. And that's all based on a 4% gain during the regular session on Amazon stock. The reported results beat Wall Street estimates pretty solid. So now this fellow's worth $134 billion.
You know, Facebook makes more ad revenue than Google.
I'm not sure if I did know that.
Yeah, just thought I'd add that to your knowledge base. They crushed it last night. They really did. And I consider Amazon crushing it as well on tighter margins, and they lose money on everything.
Tell them about your day job.
Hey, financial advisor, money manager, help you find your risk number. Call the office, 504-832-9200. Let's talk.
You're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.